Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. There's a club of famous and beloved fictional private investigators like Sherlock Holmes, Philip Marlowe, V.I. Warshawski, and Kinsey Millhone. One of those on the list, of course, is Cuban-born Miamian Pete Fernandez. Pete is the creation of author and former journalist Alex Segura, who grew up in Miami. He once worked for the Miami Herald. His latest book, Miami Midnight, is the last, maybe, of the Pete Fernandez books, and it's the September title for the Sundial Book Club. We talked with Alex about writing this iconic character, but began the conversation talking about his day job. You see, he's a writer for Archie Comics. How did you come to Archie?
Even before I started working at DC in New York, I had connections to Archie, having been a fan. My first comic was an Archie comic. I think my mom bought it for me at a Publix just to get me to quiet up, I guess, as she was trying to do her grocery shopping or check out. And that's really how I learned the language of comics, the mix of pictures and words and structure, and learned a lot of, you know, just language, you know, just, you know, reading those comics was a great springboard to other things. While working at the Herald, I first connected with Archie and started doing some freelance publicity for them. And then I moved to DC and I was up in New York and, you know, I eventually just reconnected with them and the opportunity arose. They wanted somebody to come run their PR department. And so I did that.
Writing for comics, I'm not the one who could tell you this. I'm asking you, is what right. Is that like? Because you're writing, you know, what I'd imagine is a lot less because you're writing in panels with artwork compared to writing a novel where you need words to describe what's going on. I mean, is that a difficult back and forth for you?
I mean, it's challenging. It's also a question of control because with a novel, as much as your editor or your agent or your beta readers are going to give notes, at the end of the day, you've written 100,000 words and that is your work. You've painted the picture. You've created the broad strokes of the plot. You've decided who is what and what characters are doing what. In comics, it's so much more collaborative. Even if it's your own character, you've kind of made this pact with an artist, with an inker, with a letterer, with a colorist. And so each of those different artists are going to have a say in the final product. And I think if the collaborators are good, if it's an exciting team, then the end result is much greater than what you would have envisioned.
You have written critically acclaimed pieces like The Archies, Archie Meets Ramones, Archie Meets Kiss. Yeah. Where did these ideas come from?
Well, I mean, Archie Meets Kiss came, I think I'd been at Archie maybe less than a year, and my boss said, you know, Gene Simmons has reached out to us. He wants to do an Archie Kiss comic. What do you think? And I usually didn't try to blur the lines that much. I was there as a publicist and the marketing person. But I said, yes, we should do it, obviously. I think it's a good idea, and I want to write it. I didn't have a huge background with Kiss. I'm a music fan. I know of Kiss, and I definitely got into their music working on the book. So that's what started it. And Gene and the band were very supportive and gave very minimal notes. They liked the story, and I got to work with Dan Parent, who continues to be like a legendary Archie artist. And so I think all the ingredients were there for it to be successful, and people really got into it. And that kind of opened the door for these crossovers where Archie interacts with real bands. And I've been lucky enough to be in the driver's seat for a lot of those, like Archie Meets Ramones, which I co-wrote with Matt Rosenberg, and the artist Giselle did the art. And then the Archie's book, which the twist on that series is it's an ongoing series. You follow the band, but every issue there's a guest star. So bands like Churches, Tegan and Sarah, The Monkees, Blondie. It's just been such a nice mix of bands. And it was, you know, the series is over, but I think people can look back on it fondly and see so many different eras of music kind of crossing over to this ongoing story.
When did you get the itch to want to write a novel?
I moved back to Miami after working in upstate New York for a little bit, worked at the Herald, and I got a job at DC Comics doing publicity. And, you know, I was a fan, obviously, of Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. And so that was a dream come true. But there's a lot to be said for when you make your hobbies your job. I needed another outlet, a creative outlet. So I started reading a lot of crime novels, reacquainting myself with the genre. So reading a lot of different, more modern crime fiction. And that's kind of how I passed my time, you know, getting used to the city and getting used to a new place and a new status quo. And that's when I first started to kind of toy with the idea, like, well, there, you know, just coming into the genre, I wasn't aware of any, you know, Miami-focused crime novels. I would learn later on, obviously, about the Hoke books and things like that. But I didn't really recognize any characters that were like me, you know, Cuban American, not as grizzled or as old as some of the PIs I was reading about. So I started, you know, I guess it's a byproduct of young hubris and ego, thinking, well, I'm going to add to this pantheon and create my own character and kind of fill out the spaces that I want to see. And you really, the cliche is very true. You write the book you want to read. So I wanted to read about a younger PI. I wanted to read about a Cuban American PI in Miami, in the Miami that I recognize, not the kind of touristy, you know, Google search Miami where it's, you know, just, you know, daiquiris and the beach. I wanted to talk about the suburbs and the darker corners of the city and paint a more realistic picture, or at least the picture that I remember as a kid or growing up in Miami. And then I just started pecking away at it. And then really the first one was an exercise in seeing if I could write a novel. And I didn't really envision what it became, which was a, you know, a 5-novel series that is just now ending. So it's been a fun ride.
When you moved from Miami to New York, and again, you left not just this very different geographies, very different climates, very different lifestyle, but also you left the job that you had for something very different. Tell me a little bit about that move, and was it an easy decision?
It was challenging because I love journalism. I support the press. I think it's such an important role, and you feel, even being not in the front lines, not being a reporter, but being, you know, part of the machinery as I was, you still felt you were fighting the good fight. And so I always joke, you know, I sold my soul and got into publicity, but it was cool because I was working in comics, and so it was kind of a dream in its own way. So, and so when I first started thinking about writing a novel, I was so homesick for Miami that writing about like a nice way to reconnect with my city. And, you know, when you leave Miami, you feel like, well, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. And it didn't take very long for me to start missing things, not just, you know, people and places, but, you know, little things like Cuban coffee and food and just the weather, obviously. You know, those are the immediate things that pop into my head.
I wonder how you feel about the fact that you now have this Miami Midnight and Pete Fernandez and fictional private investigator detective, however you want to list it, who's now in the same breath as some of history's most famous fictional PIs. How does that feel to you?
It's crazy. It feels surreal. I mean, I think the last time we talked, we were talking about Miami Blues, and that was such a formative book for me. You know, stuff like the Hoke Mosley books and Vicki Hendrix's work and Edna Buchanan and all these great Miami writers. And then to even just hear Pete in the same breath as those, and or to hear him in the same breath as other PIs, modern PIs, it's pretty mind-blowing. And it's neat and it's exciting because you know, to accomplish the goal, which initially was to add my voice to this chorus, and now to kind of see and hear him mentioned along with these other characters is really crazy.
We're talking with Alex Segura. He's the author of the book Miami Midnight, and that is the September title for the Sundial Book Club. You can find us on Facebook, ask to join the group, and check out all the books that we've been reading. We'll also be announcing the October book coming up soon. Who is Pete Fernandez?
There's a lot of characters that I was a fan of as a reader that had an influence on Pete, and I think off the top of my head, it's, you know, people like Nick Stefanos, who is from the George Pelicanos, his first few novels, those first three, that little trio. And Tess Monahan, who is a character from Laura Lippman's PI series in Baltimore. And I think what all those characters have in common, and also Matt Scudder, who's Lawrence Block's legendary PI. All those characters to me resonated because they were human. You know, they weren't these invincible, like alpha male or alpha characters, unbreakable, impossible to defeat. They felt very human, and they felt, you know, like flawed people. And you not only dealt with whatever their case was, you dealt with whatever their day-to-day issues were, whether it was romantic, addiction, you know, just personal, financial. And you just felt like you were along for the ride, which was really fun. And made for great drama and really great books. And that's what I wanted to bring to Pete. And in terms of real people, I wanted to write about someone like me. I didn't want to write about me. I wanted to write about someone that maybe I knew in college or in high school and had the same kind of upbringing and life that I had in Miami. And I know a lot of people like Pete, and I'm still friends with a lot of people like Pete, though they don't tend to get shot at as much as Pete does, which is good for me, because Pete's friends tend to end up dead, which would have been problematic.
You know, you talk about his flaws. One thing Pete has is, I mean, he deals with alcoholism. And how do you tackle those kind of flaws? Because you always have to be careful that, you know, that you have to be accurate and not insensitive. And, you know, there's a stigma with it.
There is. And I think the best way to tackle that and tackle anything in writing is just to be try to be as truthful as possible without trying to be, you know, salacious or, you know, try to make it seem like you're just using this very true issue. Addiction is such a serious disease. I try not to romanticize it or use it as a prop for my stories. I just try to present it as truthfully as possible. And a lot of that is portraying the struggle, and the struggle extends beyond sobriety, beyond that moment of sobriety. I think you see, I read in a lot of fiction, and it frustrates me that you find the detective or you find the hero walk into an AA meeting and you never hear about it again. He's just been cured and that's it. And or the other extreme where it's like a hard drinking hero and, you know, they'll knock back a beer or a 12 pack and then still be able to formulate thoughts and save the day. And that's unrealistic to me. It's about speaking the truth about addiction as this real issue. And, you know, it's something that Pete struggles with. He gets sober pretty early in the series, not to spoil anything, but there's obviously relapse and then there's the struggle. And I think from book 3 to 5, though he's sober, it's still a cloud over him. And if he's not doing the maintenance and if he's not doing the work of sobriety, then he's teetering close to relapse, which is something that I think a lot of addicts and people in recovery deal with. So I've gotten a lot of nice notes from people that are also dealing with those problems. And they reach out and say, I'm so thankful that you treat that with the care that you do, because it's important. I think it's important to try to treat it truthfully.
Something that's fascinating about this, it comes back to what you said a moment ago. And again, mm-hmm. this in this book, because it's a series, you know, is that it's in Miami. And so you will recognize some places. Granted, there are places that are fictional. By the way, my understanding is, not in this book, but that you actually created a bar named after a gentleman who works at the Miami Herald. Is there such thing as a Kleinman bar, Jeff Kleinman bar?
Yeah. I mean, Jeff and I go way back, and he was kind of the person that opened the door for me to come to the Herald or come back to the Herald. And I have so much respect for Jeff and the work he does, and just he's been such a key part of the Herald for so long. And anyone that works at the main old Herald downtown offices knows Mike's, the bar Mike's, which is just a hop and a skip from the office or where the office used to be. And so I thought it would be funny to have the Miami Times kind of fill that fictional space or create a fictional version of the Herald. And if there's a fictional Herald, then there's a fictional Mike's. And I just named it after Jeff because I just thought it was a nice hat tip. You know, he's appreciated it. So that's nice.
Well, the next time you're in Miami, maybe we'll go to the Sundial Bar, if such a place existed. What's interesting, though, is again, that Miami's still a big part of your life.
It is. I mean, I try to get down there as often as I can. I have family down there. My parents are down there. My friends, a lot of my close friends are down there. You know, I just try to tap into the city. And I joke with my wife that, you know, she sees it as vacation and I see it as research and vacation. You know, we'll go to different places. And my mind is thinking, well, would it be cool if there was a murder here? You know, we go to Vizcaya. I'm like, what if someone was assassinated here on the steps of Vizcaya? And to her, it's like, are you insane? Like, is this really what is going on in your brain? Like, I married this, I guess, you know? So,
the thoughts of a writer.
Yeah, no, I'm just working on those dual tracks at all times. And I try really hard to make sure that I'm describing things accurately. And I try to do my research. I have a lot of friends that live in Miami read the books before they go out, just to try to make sure that I'm not telling stories set in, like, 2003 Miami, which is when I was living there, and it feels like present, you know, like today's Miami.
Right. Let me end with this. Is this the end of Pete Fernandez? This the last of the Pete Fernandez books?
You know, if you'd asked me that, I think when the book was about to come out or before the book came out, I would have been much more definitive. I would have said, this is the end. That's it. See you later. I'm done with Pete. And obviously, there's been such an outpouring of reaction, and it's all coming from a very good emotional place. Just people saying, no, please, you know, I'm so invested in these characters. Like, don't let Pete go away. And you know, I love Kathy. I love Dave. I love all these, you know, the supporting cast. So I think I've left the door open enough that if the story appears to me, as the Pete books often do, you know, I'll be doing something and I'll just have an idea and it fits as a Pete story, then I want to leave that door open to come back. But for now, it's the end. I don't know if it's the end with a period or if it's the end with an ellipses and a question mark, but we'll have to see.
Well, that was Alex Segura, author of Miami Midnight. That's a September title for the Sundial Book Club. You can learn more about him and other authors that we've talked to. Find us on Facebook, Sundial Book Club. It's free. Ask to join. We'd love to have you. Also, we're going to be announcing next month's book club title this Thursday, so stay tuned. By the way, it's a fun one. I'm going to give you just a little hint. It's a young adult novel. That's our program for this Tuesday, September 24th. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.